Good afternoon from Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section of Staten Island. On the update this Friday, in a city that's famous for its lack of patience, some businesses have jumped ahead on what's supposed to be a slow emergence from lockdown. Stores in parts of the city have already started to allow customers inside to shop, even though that isn't allowed until Phase 2. We'll have the latest details. As activists in several cities around the country pulled down and damaged statues of explorer Christopher Columbus, Governor Cuomo said that's not happening here. He's voiced his support for the statue in Midtown. The head of the Tokyo Olympics says that 80% of the facilities needed for next year's games have, quote, basic approval to be used. And the problem of homelessness continues to get worse in Los Angeles County. The number of homeless people counted over the past year jumped nearly 13% to more than 66,000, and officials are fearing another spike due to the impact of the pandemic. This is the update, Friday, June the 12th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Friday to you, TGIF. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's stop, after a couple of days off, is Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section of Staten Island. We've taken the last couple of days off because this has been, it's been a very toxic political climate. The last couple of days, and we just felt we needed time to just, you know, take a step back, let things sort of die down a little bit before we jump back into the news cycle with both feet. We have a lot of news to get to this Friday, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin with scientists. They're beginning a new study to tell if the blood plasma of COVID-19 survivors could help prevent infection in the first place. Doctors, they're already using survivor plasma as a treatment for many hospitalized patients, even as research is still underway to tell if it really works. The plasma harbors virus-fighting antibodies. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University are testing if giving that immune system boost to people newly exposed but not yet sick, like health workers or nursing home residents, could help starve off the illness. Back here in the city, as other parts of the state are in Phase 2 and some are about to enter Phase 3, our city, of course, is famous for its lack of patience, but some businesses, they've gone ahead and jumped the gun on what's supposed to be a slow emergence from lockdown. Stores in parts of the city already started to allow customers inside to shop, even though the phased reopening that began on Monday only allows retailers to sell merchandise via curbside pickup for now. Customers are not supposed to be permitted indoors at most retailers until at least Phase 2 of reopening, which might not come until late June or very early July. And in the state capital in Albany, New York is now allowing nursing homes in some parts of the state to test staffers for COVID-19 only once a week, down from the twice-a-week mandate that began last month. Leaders of nursing homes and their industry groups have argued for weeks that it's hard to comply with the state's ambitious demand to test roughly 185,000 workers twice a week. Meanwhile, there are signs that commuters are returning with caution to the New York area buses, subways, and rail lines. The MTA reported subway ridership reached about 800,000 on Monday, the most since the agency began reducing service in late March. Weekday subway ridership normally surpasses 5 million, but plummeted more than 90% during the pandemic. There is other news of this Friday to address, and we will address those when the Update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by New York State and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Friday. There are four ambulance workers here in the city. They gave some media interviews about their work on the front lines of the pandemic. They also sued the city yesterday, saying that they were punished for speaking out. One EMT said that he was suspended without pay, and three others were barred from caring for patients. The city confirmed the punishments, and a spokesperson for the city's law department said that the fire department respects employees' First Amendment rights, but that those rights must be balanced to respect patient privacy rights. Some of the media reports showed glimpses of patients receiving care. There are some legal experts that say that U.S. investigators probably can't force Britain's Prince Andrew to cooperate in the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking probe. Prosecutors here in New York have wanted to speak with Andrew for several months about his friendship with Epstein and allegations by one woman that the financier arranged from him to have sex with a 17-year-old girl. Andrew has denied that allegation, but his lawyers insist that he is willing to speak with investigators confidentially. U.S. defense lawyers, though, say that it would be a mistake if Andrew's lawyers allowed him to do such an interview. There's a homeless man that's now facing some federal charges in connection to the burning of a police officer's vehicle as it was parked on the New York City street. Authorities yesterday said that Michael Rodriguez, age 32, had approached the vehicle in the early morning hours of June 2nd. It had a placard of the NYPD. In the federal complaint, authorities said that video footage showed Rodriguez pouring liquid on the unoccupied vehicle, putting cardboard on it, and setting the cardboard on fire. Rodriguez was ordered detained pending trial. An email to an attorney in the federal defender's office was not immediately reached. Was not immediately answered, I should say. The outrage, of course, over George Floyd's death in Minneapolis has sparked the activism to pull down monuments in the U.S. and around the world. The campaign to remove Confederate monuments has intensified, an effort that has extended to statues of slave traders, imperialists, and explorers globally. Protests and sometimes acts of vandalism have taken place in such cities as Boston, New York, Paris, Brussels, and Oxford, England. Scholars are divided over whether this amounts to erasing history or updating it. The targets of the recent protests include statues of Christopher Columbus, British imperialist Cecil Rhodes, and Belgium's King Leopold II, who profited from a brutal regime in Congo. Over in the state capital in Albany, as the activists, of course, in several cities across the country are pulling down and damaging statues of explorer Christopher Columbus, Governor Cuomo said that's not happening here. He voiced his support yesterday for the statue of Christopher Columbus in Columbus Circle. Protesters, though, want New York to rename Columbus Day for Indigenous Peoples Day and argue that his statue is a symbol of genocide and enslavement. It glorifies an explorer who traveled to various Caribbean islands for the Spanish crown. Cuomo, who himself is Italian-American, defended the statue yesterday and said he understands the ongoing dialogue surrounding it. In Washington, now it's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's turn to defend her record and battle accusations that she's lost touch with her district. In 2018, the New York Democrat ousted a veteran lawmaker in a primary. But now the 30-year-old Democratic Socialist faces a primary challenge from a former Republican who says Ocasio-Cortez is a celebrity who isn't paying enough attention to her district in the Bronx and Queens. And the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is accusing her of blocking new jobs. Ocasio-Cortez says she's as active as ever back home and is pushing policies that help her district. The primary is set for June 23rd. And finally, on Long Island, out of Stony Brook, police there say that a man dressed in tactical gear was found with three explosive devices in his backpack at a Long Island hospital. He's now been arrested on weapons and drug charges. Police say 33-year-old Robert Roden had walked into the emergency room at Stony Brook University Hospital on Tuesday night, acting suspiciously. University police officers were called to the scene, took Roden into custody, and found a suspicious package in his backpack. When officers searched his bag, they found three explosive devices inside. Authorities also say that a BB gun was also recovered. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Friday from Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how the head of the Tokyo Olympics says that 80% of the facilities needed for next year's games have the basic approval to be used. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how the president is back to business as usual after 3 months after bowing to the realities of a pandemic that put big chunks of life on pause. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRP Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRP.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey. Why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you. From PassItOn.com.
From New York, where kids eat for free, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Just a friendly reminder that the subway is for essential workers and essential trips only. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth. Do not touch the mask before you wash your hands. Also, there is no scheduled service on the Grand Central Shuttle and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7 or J trains. As a reminder, the subway is closed every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate ways to get around during those hours, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
Let us talk some sports on this Friday. We'll start overseas in Tokyo, where the head of the Tokyo Olympics says that 80% of the facilities needed for next year's games have, quote, basic approval to be used. But organizing committee president Yoshihiro Mori says, quote, there are also venues that already have reservations from other users for next year. Organizers say that two of the largest venues needed for the Olympics have not yet been secured. They are the 5,000 apartment athletes village and the Tokyo Big Site. That is the venue for the main press center. Organizers are also still unable to say what the delay caused by the pandemic will cost and who will actually pay. And finally, NHL players aren't at all in a rush to return to team practice facilities. They've been able to skate and work out there since Monday. The league and the players' union agreed to a July 10th restart for training camps if they can agree to resume this season. But the uncertainty over that agreement has some players unsure when they'll return to their home cities. Camps are expected to return to run 2 to 3 weeks, with games taking place in two hub cities without fans if medical and safety requirements are met. The current stage of workouts is voluntary, and players are dealing with quarantine regulations also in the U.S. and in Canada. When we return on the update this Friday from Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section, we will talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how a federal appeals court is hearing arguments on whether it should order the dismissal of the Justice Department's prosecution of former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you gonna do? You gonna go grocery shopping? Cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You gotta dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. I know you won't. Because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive, of course, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section. After some time off, we're continuing our long-running Staten Island series. We took some time off because we all know the political climate out there is very, very toxic. And you can get caught up in that toxicity. I think I got that word right. If you're not careful. But also, truly, where does the time go? I really hope I didn't write that line, huh? Well, maybe I did. But next week is graduation time, and I'm very, very nervous. I've been checking my CUNY First account every day, waiting for the final grade to be posted. Because I know I passed the class, the math class that was giving you so much difficulty to graduate. I know I passed it. It's just a matter of which letter grade are you going to get assigned, because anybody who's taken classes knows that you need a good GPA. I think you need at least a 2 GPA, and I'm like literally sitting on the borderline. So I'm hoping I can get a good grade, you know, just nudge that up a little bit, maybe just to get If I can walk out of Kingsbury with a 2.1 GPA, I'll be perfectly happy with that. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this June the 12th. The highlight of his day came in 1994 when Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were slashed to death outside of her Los Angeles home. O.J. Simpson was later acquitted of the killings in a criminal trial, but was eventually held liable in a civil action. In 1630, Englishman John Winthrop, leading a fleet carrying Persian refugees, arrived at the Massachusetts Bay Colony, where he became its governor. In 1898, Philippine nationalists declared independence from Spain. In 1942, Anne Frank, a German-born Jewish girl living in Amsterdam, received a diary for her 13th birthday, less than a month before she and her family went into hiding from the Nazis. In 1963, civil rights leader Medgar Evers, age 37, was shot and killed outside his home in Jackson, Mississippi. In 1994, Byron De La Beckwith was convicted of murdering Evers and sentenced to life in prison. He died in 2001. In 1964, South African black nationalist Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life in prison along with seven other people, including Walter Sisulu, for committing sabotage against the apartheid regime. All were eventually freed, including Mandela, in 1990. In 1967, the U.S. Supreme Court in Loving v. Virginia unanimously struck down state laws prohibiting interracial marriages. In 1978, David Berkowitz was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison for each of the six Son of Sam 44 caliber shootings that terrified New Yorkers. In 1981, MLB players began a 49-day strike over the issue of free agent compensation. The season did not resume until August 10th. Also, Raiders of the Lost Ark, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, was first released. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan, during a visit to the divided German city of Berlin, exhorted Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down this wall. In 1997, baseball began regular season interleague play, ending a 126-year tradition of separating the major leagues until the World Series. In the first game played under this arrangement, the San Francisco Giants beat the Texas Rangers 4-3. In 2004, former President Ronald Reagan's body was sealed inside a tomb at his presidential library in Simi Valley, California, following a week of mourning and remembrance by world leaders and regular Americans. And in 2016, an American-born Muslim opened fire at the Pulse nightclub, a gay establishment in Orlando, California, leaving 49 people dead and 53 wounded before being shot dead by police. When we return on the update this Friday from Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section, we will address the latest national news, including how overseas Twitter has removed a vast network of accounts that it says is linked to the Chinese government and was pushing false information favorable to the country's communist rulers. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR. The Update Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, after some time off, Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section of Staten Island. Next stop for me will be CSI. Let's address the latest national news on this Friday. We'll begin in Washington, where the president is back to business as usual, 3 months after bowing to the realities of a pandemic that put big chunks of life on pause. It comes as cases are on the upswing, though, in many parts of the country. While the nation now has now had months to stockpile PPEs and ventilators, a vaccine is many months away at best, and a model cited by White House projects, tens of thousands more deaths by the end of September. But the president's campaign is again scheduling mass arena rallies, and he's back to spending summer weekends at his New Jersey golf club. There's a federal appeals court that is hearing arguments on whether it should order the dismissal of the Justice Department's prosecution of former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Lawyers for Flynn today asked the Washington-based appeals court to force a federal judge to grant the Justice Department's request and dismiss the case. Flynn's lawyers say there is no role for the judge to play now that prosecutors have abandoned their pursuit of Flynn, who pleaded guilty as part of special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe to lying to the FBI. Two of the three judges, though, appeared skeptical. President Trump has welcomed the Justice Department's decision to drop the Flynn case. Overseas in London, Twitter, they've removed a vast network of accounts that they say is linked to the Chinese government and was pushing false information favorable to the country's communist rulers. Beijing denied involvement today and said the company should instead take down accounts smearing China. The U.S. social media company has suspended over 23,750 accounts that were posting pro-Beijing narratives and another 150,000 accounts dedicated to retweeting and amplifying those messages. Twitter said that the network was engaged, quote, in a range of coordinated and manipulated activities in predominantly Chinese languages. Those activities included praise for China's response to the pandemic and, quote, deceptive narratives about Hong Kong pro-democracy protests. And finally, out west in Los Angeles, the problem of homelessness. It's a problem across the country and the world, of course. But it just continues to get worse in Los Angeles County. The number of homeless people counted over the past year jumped nearly 13% to more than 66,000, and officials fear another spike due to the impact of the pandemic. The majority of those experiencing homelessness were found within the city of Los Angeles. Hundreds live downtown in encampments that line blocks in the Skid Row neighborhood. January's annual tally came before the outbreak paralyzed the economy and pushed scores into unemployment. The country instituted a moratorium on evictions amid the pandemic. When it expires, many more could find themselves without homes. Our thought for today is from Eric Hoffer, an American philosopher, born in 1902 and died in 1983. Our thought for today is, it is easier to love humanity as a whole than to love one's neighbor. I will let you guys ponder on that. As we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Friday, June the 12th, 2020. That is the update on this Friday from Jones Woods Park in the New Brighton section of Staten Island. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. Hopefully your news is good news. We're out at Cedar Grove Beach tomorrow, and I hope you can join me then.